Good morning, Beth family and friends. First, we want to say to all of you this morning, hoping you have a great new year, and want to wish all of you a happy new year, but not only a happy new year, but a holy new year, because as we live in holiness, we can experience the greatest happiness. So we are so glad to join you this morning. We are only on podcast today, because we have so many members who are saying they had been possibly exposed to the COVID. So we just decided this morning to go podcast on it. So thank you for joining us. We hope to see you, those of you that are usually come to the physical service and to upon the next time we gather. So just be praying for one another as we go forth and begin this great year that God has for us. And we're looking forward to God doing amazing things as he's always done throughout our years, and especially what he's done at Bethsaida through the years that we've all enjoyed the fellowship together. This time we want to ask Cheryl to come and give us our prayer, and we'll move on further from there. Okay, sure. Can you get in? In just a moment, we'll get this thing done.
Hey man, good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Precious God, we come before your presence and we acknowledge that you've been real good to us. You have been merciful. You've been kind. You've been patient. You've been long-suffering. All of 2021, you have been gracious to us. And we pause to say thank you, God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is to be praised, God, and we praise you for how you carried us and kept us all of 2021. We're left but to say thank you. But as we bow, Father God, and recognize how great you've been and how good you've been, we have to come to you now in the spirit of repentance, because we realize, God, we haven't been as great to you as you've been to us. We come as a church, we bow as a in the spirit of repentance. We have taken your grace for granted. We've taken your goodness for granted on this year to 2021. And you still allowed us to see 2022, even in spite of ourselves. God, there's some things you've called us to do. There's some things you instructed us to do that we failed to do. We omitted to do. And we ask for your forgiveness. As we come to you as a body of Christ, as followers of you, as ambassadors for Christ, we all just bow in a spirit of repentance because we failed to do some things you called us to do, you assigned us to do, you asked us to do, you commanded us to do, and we just, out of disobedience, out of fear, out of lack of faith, whatever it was, we just failed to get it done. But yet your love never ran out on us. Your love still was faithful, and you crossed us over to 2022, even with some things that we failed to do that we should have done, even some things that we should not have done, and we did anyway out of disobedience. What an amazing God we serve. It's a love that we don't even understand. You've been faithful to us, and your mercy was new every morning, all of 2021, and again this morning, 2022. Your mercy showed up again. We praise you for that on today. Now, we pray this year, God, that all that you have assigned to us, all of you have called us to do, all that you have instructed us to do, we pray, Father God, that we would yield ourselves to you on today. And God, again, we renew our yes to you. Yes to your will, yes to your word, yes to your way. As a church, God, your word says to us that if we commit our works to you, that you would establish our goings. And so we commit ourselves to you all over again today as a church, as ambassadors for you, as followers of you. We commit ourselves to you for 2022. And we pray, God, that we get done what you have assigned to us to do. Help us to be better witnesses. Help us to be a better light, so that men would see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Those of us you've called to teach, God, we want to be better. Those you've called us to preach your word, God, we want to do it right. We want to rightly divide your word of truth, God. We thank you for giving us another chance. We thank you for giving us another year. We praise you for your goodness toward us. So as we commit to 2022, we pray you do a great and a mighty work in us and through us. We pray your blessings over our time today as a family. as we spend time with you, that you minister grace to us, that you strengthen us, that you would keep us in perfect peace. We pray, Father God, for our family members. We pray for the Perry family, the Jones family, and many others, Bernice, calls that we receive, God, that you know by name. We pray for complete healing for our family. Those, Father God, whose bodies have been touched with COVID, those who are just sick in their bodies. We just pray, Father God, for a supernatural healing. We pray you do a great work in them. Your word says, Father God, by your stripes that we're healed. And so we pray, because of the blood of Jesus, that you would, God, bring healing to their bodies. Pray you be close to them on today, and that you do a great work in their lives. And we praise you for that even in advance, because you are a healer. You are a great physician. And so we thank you and we praise you that their bodies are being touched even now as we pray. Strengthen, Father God, lungs and kidneys and those who are having coughs. Father God, I pray you bring those to a place of healing, that they would feel better even today as we minister through the word on today. Pray for Bernice, complete healing and wholeness in her body. We pray for all the children, Father God, of the Jones children and grandchildren, that you do a great work in their lives, and Maxine's and all the others. Call us as family, Lord. All the others that we've been called about, God, that have been exposed to certain situations. We thank you that you are still God enough to take care of it all. And we praise you for that, that you are more than enough. Minister to us today in a great way as we speak, as we lend our ears to hear what you have to say to us on today. And remind us even during our time of communion that you're still a great God, that you're still the great I am. And we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your life for us. And God, we in turn want to give ourselves back to you. And in this year, we want to make greater impact for your kingdom. We thank you, Father God, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank Cheryl for sharing the prayer with us. And we're up to our word for the day. Hold on. All right. Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. It's been a long time since I did this podcast from home, so we may make a couple of mistakes today. We happen to lose you. Just hold on. We'll try to get it back in 2 or 3 minutes as quick as we can. But we're hoping and praying that the Lord will help us just get through it without that type of error. All right. Today we want to resume our Dig It series. In this series of messages, we are trying to going deeper into the things that we believe at the Bethsaida Church. And today we're going to address, you may not have this one. You can find it on the website. But on the last one is what we believe about the ordinances. And especially today we'll be looking at the Lord's Supper. And when you find it on your sheet, I'm just going to read it out because most of you probably don't have this sheet. It says, we believe the Lord's Supper is a memorial of Christ's death and expression of our faith in his future coming that is to be continually practiced by all believers. We believe every Christian has a right to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, but that participation must always be preceded by a solemn self-examination. Amen. So that's basically what we are going to address today with today's message. Our scripture for today is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 23 through 32. So if you have your printed scripture or your device, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. Amen. When you find that it reads, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and hearers of God's holy word. Now, today we want to entitle this message, A Seat at the Table. A Seat at the Table. And we want to look at that. That's what our title is going to be. Usually when we hear that phrase, a seat at the table, it's having a place where one is empowered to make wise decisions and can contribute and speaks of a relationship and trust. And so kind of think of all those things as we go by. Now, first we want to begin with a word that we're going to be talking about, a word that you've heard before, and that's the word covenant. Covenant is just another word for agreement. And often there's when covenants happen, there's usually a person that has something to bestow upon another, and he makes an agreement of how he will bestow that upon another. We had an Old Testament covenant, an old covenant and a new covenant. The old covenant is what we often read about in the Old Testament. The new covenant is what we read about in the majority of the text of the New Testament. The thing I want to say is in the Old Testament, there was a predominant covenant, the Mosaic covenant, in which in the Abrahamic and the Mosaic were the best covenants of the Old Testament. And God, I'm trying to see if I need to use this scripture now. I'm saving it for later, but I'm going to go ahead and use it now. In the book of Malachi chapter 1, Malachi period. God, and I'm going to take time and read through Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament. They had defiled God's table. Let me give you the particular verse because I wanted to get that. I wasn't intending on using it this early, but I think I need to use it so I can go ahead and explain what I need to explain here. Let's look at Malachi chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. And this is what it says. And I think Cheryl began a prayer similar to this. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, My name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for not my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But now look at this, verse 12. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it and say, the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from you? Should I receive that from your hand? Said the Lord. But cursed be the swindler who has male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. Now here, listen, God had established a covenant with Israel. And the covenant, like I said, he said, I'm going to bestow upon Israel. And basically the thing that he was giving Israel is a head start on greatness. He said, Israel, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a head start on greatness. I'm going to give you my law. And I want you to be my representative so all the other nations can see how great you are. And they'll know how great your God is. So I'm going to make you an example. So through you, all the other nations of the earth can see how great God is. And they will themselves become worshipers of the true and living God. He made a covenant with them. And part of that covenant he made was they had to offer sacrifices in worship. Especially, they had to offer sacrifices on the Day of Atonement to atone for their sins. Whatever sins they had committed as a nation, an individual, they had to, on the Day of Atonement, once a year, the high priest would go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and take the blood of animals and sprinkle it on the holy seat, and then their sins would be covered for a year. Now, y'all, don't miss that last part. Their sins were not taken away, but they were only covered for a year. And as their sins were covered, it allowed God to bless them as a nation. They had the privilege to be blessed by God in amazing ways that other nations around them would not be. So, seeing how great their God was, they should have came to worship, and they should have came to this time of sacrifice, which is called the Lord's table. They should have came to this time, and they should have thought highly of it. That's what he means when he's talking back in verse 11. He said, now this is who I am. I should be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting. My name would be great among the Gentiles. And then he goes on to say how great a God he is. So if you come to this great God and to his table and he requires a sacrifice, you should do it with great joy because he's worth it. You should so value him and how great he is that you should come to worship and bring that is required with joy. But no, because he required the best of your flock. But they bought a thing sometimes they brought animals, lambs, or goats that wasn't even part of their flock. They bought stolen stuff to the Lord that they stole from another flock. They bought crippled, lame, blind animals with all kinds of blemishes because they didn't, what you bring to worship shows what you think about God. And they didn't think enough about God to bring him the best that he was asking for. Are we often in that same place that we'll just bring God any old thing? God don't want your leftover. He don't want leftover worship. He don't want what you got left over from your late Saturday nights. But God wants the best of your worship. He deserves it because he's the God of the universe. Amen. And what that sacrifice represents. The sacrifice of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was pointing to something that would happen under the New Covenant. Because remember, the Old Covenant couldn't take away sins. It just covered sins for a year. But just like that animal that was the best of the flock, unblemished animal, the best you had, the one with no flaws, just like that animal was telling us about a person, a Savior that would come later on, and he would be sacrificed on the altar, and he would take away sin once and for all. So every year that Day of Atonement was pointing, the Old Covenant, Day of Atonement was pointing to a New Covenant time when the person, the Christ, the Anointed One would come and give his life as a sacrifice. And therefore we could receive all of the blessings, all of the covenantal blessing that God had in store for us. So keep that in mind. But now they didn't come to the Lord's table right. They didn't come to fellowship. The Lord's table, see, for whatever covenants always had a covenant meal. When a covenant was made, there was always a covenant meal. The covenant, the Old Testament covenant, the Old Covenant had a covenant meal on the day of the Passover, the Day of Atonement. They had meals. And your attitude at that meal was your attitude toward what God was to do. You should have been happy that God made a covenant. God had made a covenant. Say, I'm going to give y'all a head start, Israel, where y'all going to be a blessing to everybody else. And all the privileges that it take, and then y'all come giving me leftovers, the God, the great God of the universe, and y'all just giving me what y'all got left? Oh, no, no, I'm not going to accept anything. That's not a worship. I'm going to accept. And believers, we ought not be like Israel and just bring God anything and expect his blessings on our lives. So that's kind of what we mean. Now, whenever you think about covenants, I always think the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Now, the New Covenant and the covenant was important because God was so great. This is another important point. God is so great and holy, and we are sinful. So the only way a sinful man can have communion, fellowship, intimacy with a holy God is his sins have to be dealt with. In the Old Testament, that sin was dealt with, like I said, through the sacrifice, that covering for 1 year. And Israel could have that intimacy, that fellowship, that communion with God. They could have it through through the covenant that what God had made with them. They could experience intimacy with God, and that intimacy was also expressed at the table. Now, in the New Testament, amen, no longer did God want sacrifices year by year. Called the bulls and the goats and the sheep and the turtles. They weren't changing people's hearts. Now God sent the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to die on Calvary so that he can once and for all, to all those, he would take away all the world's sins, which will be applicable to all those who put their trust in Christ. They would have the privilege of receiving all the blessings of the covenant. That's why Ephesians said we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, that comes through the covenant of Christ. We have the privilege to receive all of God's blessings. Now, let me get down to what we want to talk about, what's called the Lord's Supper or communion, or I think in the table of the Lord, or in the Catholic Church, Eucharist, which means thankfulness or thank you, because Jesus gave thanks before he broke the bread when he instituted. When on the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted his supper, it was on the day of, it was a Passover meal that he was having. Now, the Passover meal was a celebration. That's why the first thing I want to talk about, let me go ahead and get to my first point. My first point is that the Lord's Supper or communion is about celebration and proclamation. We have a seat at the table so we can celebrate and proclaim, amen, the covenant and what the Lord has done for us. So, in the New Testament, on the New Covenant, this is what has happened. Christ has come and died on Calvary's cross and paid the price for our sin and took our sins away. We have that privilege. Our sins are not just covered for a year. He took our sins away forever. He paid the price for our sin, past, present, and future. For every sin, the price was paid to all of those who put their trust in him. So, when we come to the Lord's table, we are celebrating what we have experienced. Hey, we celebrate and we remember the price he paid for us. It costs something for us to have the privileges and the blessings we have as Christians. We remember the price, his sufferings, his death, how they tortured him, how they beat him, how they abused him, how they disgraced him, and how he could have stopped all that at any time. But for us, and because of his love for us, and because he wanted to take away our sins and give us all the blessings that the Father has in store, he did it for us. He gave his blood for us. His body and his blood was the price that was paid for our sins, so we can have fellowship and experience all the blessings of the new covenant. So each time, hey, we need to look forward to coming to that table. On the first Sunday when we celebrate it, everybody should, amen, should just be excited about being able to celebrate what the Lord has done for you. It ought to be your greatest time of excitement, greatest time of worship, because of that sacred time you get to remember, man, I'm so thankful for all that the Lord had done for me and for dying for my sin and taking my sins away and establishing it. He paid the price. That's what we celebrate. But not only do we celebrate him paying the price, but secondly, we celebrate and proclaim the prize is Christ himself. We get to have intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is the Lord's table. This is a meal. This is a time and a meal throughout a biblical time. When you share a meal, you share intimate fellowship because of the price he paid. We have the opportunity to share intimate fellowship with God. Oh, man. And so we celebrate the price and the prize. And by the, see, just like in Malachi, if you come giving Christ your leftovers, half-hearted about it, not really realizing what you're celebrating, not giving value to what he's done. And one of the greatest ways we can proclaim, because not only do we celebrate, but we proclaim, one of the greatest ways we can proclaim how great our God is and how much we value what he's done for us is by the way we live our lives. Did y'all catch that? By the way we live our lives. It's all right to talk about it, but talk is cheap when you don't live your life that way. So we show, not only do we celebrate, but this is the time that we're proclaiming that we're living our lives for the Lord. Because that's how much he means to us, that he was willing, the God, the Son of God, the creator of the whole universe, loved us enough to come down and die on Calvary's cross for us. So every time we come to the table, with that on our hearts. He deserves the best. Now, also we're proclaiming to the enemy. We're not only just proclaiming to the world, but we're proclaiming to the enemy, the one who used to be our master, that now we're in love under new management, as the song says. Oh, no, I don't have you're no longer the master of me. I'm no longer a slave of sin, but I'm a child of God now. So I got a whole new thing going on. I don't have no more time for you, Satan. I don't have no more time for you, enemy. I'm now ready to live my, every time you come to the table, that's the attitude we have to come to the table with. Now, secondly, not only is there celebration and proclamation, but secondly, okay, let me make sure you got, those of you that may be trying to follow my outline, I want to make sure you got it. The first part of the outline is celebration and proclamation. A, we celebrate the covenant. And then to B, we proclaim the covenant. Now, Roman numeral 2, there's realization in examination. Realization in examination. Now, it talks about the table of the Lord. I told you table means intimacy, intimate fellowship, closeness with God, an intimate, close fellowship. There's a sharing of life. See, when you, the realization of what's going on in your life, because of the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary, we can now share Christ's life. That's why we say, when you, I say many times, those of you that have been there, that as we partake of the elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine that represents our blood and the bread that represents his body, we are saying that the only way we can effectively live the Christian life is by Christ living in us. It's Christ living in us through his Holy Spirit. It's like the branch share the life of the true vine or the tree. They both share the same life. We are fruitful and have more fruit and much fruit because we share the life of Christ. We have that kind of intimate fellowship that through our connection and us abiding in him, his life comes through our life. And then people can see him and his glory is reflected by how we live. But now, that's when you at the Lord's table and you and it says to you there worthily. In order to experience the Lord's table worthily in the right manner, you have to realize what has happened in your life. And that is, because of him, we can experience all the spiritual blessings of the covenant, of the new covenant, and have a share life with God. The Holy Spirit becomes influence us and empower us, and we have the fruit of the Spirit being present in our life on a more and more basis until we have much fruit. And that's not because of what we do, but that's because of what Christ is doing in our life and we share in life. That's what you do when you have intimate fellowship. And you got a seat at the table. When I got a seat at the table means I can share my life, or really not me, but it's Christ sharing his life through me. Because I got a seat at the table. That's the privilege. Amen. When you got that privilege of having a seat at the table, you ought to come to the table with clean hands. Oops. Because you got a privilege. You know, when you sit at, I mean, if you go to somebody's house that's a really nice person, the person been a blessing to you, and that you got a lot of respect for, and you looked up to, and you're there to have a great time of fellowship and experience all the blessings of that person present. You don't come just any kind of way. Because of your respect for that person, you want to dress to impress. Amen. Because you want to be there for him. So, and I'm not talking the physical, but I'm talking about the dressing of attitude and actions. Amen. There ought to be a change in our attitude and actions. All right. Now this is the key point. I'm just about finishing, but I need you to look back at chapter 10. We're in 1 Corinthians. Hope you still got your Bible open. If you're in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, now I need you to see something in chapter 10 that's important. That's why the realization should push us to examination. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turning there myself. That's why it's taking me a little bit. Second here. Chapter 10, and then look down at verse 21. I'm hoping that this one. Oh, everybody there. All right. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Listen to what it says. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord in the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord in the table of demons. You got a seat at the table. Wherever you have a seat at the table, you share your life with. And they share their life with you. When we have a seat at the Lord's table, he shares his life with us. There's an intimacy. A sharing of a life. He becomes the greatest influence in our life. Amen. His fruit began to come out in our life. His character is shown through our life. That's when we are at the table of the Lord. Now, as Paul is talking to believers, but a believer can also be guilty of sitting at the table of demons. Because you can also, just like you enjoy the intimate fellowship with God and how great he is and how wonderful he is and he's him living in you and living through you. Don't you know, even though you saved and changed, you can sometime, because don't think just because the Lord is in your life, you love him, that the evil, the enemy going to send some invitations. The enemy gonna send you an invitation to dinner. The enemy every day is gonna send you an invitation to have supper with him. The enemy is going to send you an invitation to his table. But when you sit at a person's table, they rub off on you. They influence you. They impact you. Amen. Now, when we sit at the Lord's table, we sit there and we are blessed. But when you sit at a table where there's demonic influence, now demons, my belief is demons cannot, as believers, possess us, but they can have influence on us if we sit at the enemy's table. That's why when we come to the Lord's Supper, before we said, examine yourself, realizing, hey, you got to ask yourself at that moment, whose table have I been sitting at? When I look back on my week, on my month, have I been sitting at the Lord's table, experiencing intimacy to him, intimate fellowship, where his life is coming through my life, his glory can be seen in my life. I'm accomplishing all the things that he wants. I'm fruitful in ministry and in character. Or have I accepted the invitation of the enemy to sit at his table? When you examine yourself, you say, well, I've been sitting at the wrong table. I need to change tables. That's what repentance is. When you see in your life that you've been sitting at the wrong table and the enemy been having at where God, when you sit at the Lord's table, you get blessed. But when you sit at the enemy table, your life is a mess. You got to decide, do you want to be blessed or do you want a life that's a mess? Look at the table you've been sitting at. When you're not experiencing consistent victory, look at the table you've been sitting at. When you don't see things happen in your life, like the great joy and the peace and all the things that God has in store for you, but rather you're seeing yourself defeated, down, and all of that. Look at which table you've been sitting at. Because what table determines, amen, what you're going to receive. If you sit at the Lord's table, you'll receive and you'll be blessed with all spiritual blessings and God's awesome presence in your life. God making moves and opening doors and God being there to give you strength. He's the strength of your life. Amen. God being there and praise because your life, even if you're going through some challenging situations, just knowing he's there gives you so much strength and you can go through challenges cheerfully, knowing that God's going to bring you out and he can give you power for your struggle. You can stay above your circumstances rather than under your circumstance because of the fellowship you have. But now when you find yourself under the circumstances, when you find yourself, we all have some wins and losses, but when you find yourself having a whole lot more losses than you do wins, when we come to the table, you need to figure out whose table you've been at the most. You may need to have more than just one communion once a month. Don't think you have to wait till the first Sunday to have communion. Amen. If you find yourself experiencing a lot of failure, falling back into the same thing over and over again, you might need to have communion a little bit more because strength comes through communion. Look, Paul said, now, if you can't make that done, if you come to the table unworthily and you are not making that realization of what's going on, and you're continually sitting at the wrong table. It says some are sick, weak, or they're dead. They died a little earlier. God really wanted you a little bit more because they sit at the wrong table. Now, they didn't say they were lost, but they just didn't accomplish all that God would have them. God had so much more for them to come. They had so much potential for the kingdom. God wanted them to use them so much in a mighty way, but because they found themselves accepting invitations for the demonic tape and demons and the darkness and the enemy began to be influential in their life, more influential than the Holy Spirit. Now the lives are tore up. Messed up. That's why Lisa, I guess by having 1 month, we reminded, hey, we think, oh, what table am I at? Am I at the right table? Because you don't want to sit at your enemy table. When you sit at an enemy's table, you don't even know if you should eat the food or not. Because you don't know how they prepared it. You could be poisoning yourself. When you sit at somebody's table, you're saying, I trust you. I know you got my best interest in mind. I believe in you. So you don't have no business at the enemy's table. Come on over to the Lord's table. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, if you're having it, whatever it is, sometimes you have to, hey, you got to take communion more than once. Because communion, there's power in communion. When you partake worthily, you may have to take it weekly because it'll give you strength. Amen. You may have to take it daily because it'll give you strength. Just that time, along with the Lord, of being before him at his table will give you strength. So it said as often as you do it. It don't say how often you can do it. Because I think some of us need to do it more often than others. And all of you to do it, do it in remembrance of me. And when you take that time, because sometimes you just need to realize what's going on. And sometimes if there's a long, you forget what's going on. You forget how important it is for you to stay at the close, intimate fellowship with God and stay at his table and not get at the wrong table where you get under the wrong influences. That's why the Lord's table is more important. See, you know what? The enemy wants us to just come and do it routinely. Oh, yeah, we do it every first Sunday, you know. We take the little bread out. And we eat the little bread. Then we drink the little communion juice. And that's what we've been. We've been doing that for years. We do it on first Sunday. He wants you to come and go through that rote without any thought in it, without your heart in it, without realizing what it symbolizes, without thinking about, amen, that you're sitting at the Lord's table where there's intimacy and fellowship and you can experience the abundant life that the Lord had for you as you surrender and continue to seek having that close fellowship in him living through you. Or the enemy says, come over. I got it. Come over. I know you. You remember? You used to, before you got into all that church stuff, we used to have a good time at my table. Won't you come on over to my table? The enemy, he'll always show you the good time you had before the bad consequences. Hey, look at your life, any area of your life, and that'll tell you if you need to really get back to the Lord's table. Now, when I say the Lord's table, sometimes I'm talking about communion, but sometimes I'm talking about just having that deep, intimate fellowship with him, where you are trusting in him to live his life through you and saying, Lord, you're all I have. So the only way I'm going to experience victory in this day, in this week, in this trial, in this challenge, is you being there. I'm depending on you. Christ died for me on Calvary's cross. I got a right. Because you gave me a covenant that said I can be in this covenant and have authority in this covenant. And you said I got a seat at the table. And it's something special having a seat at the table. So Lord, as I'm going through this, just help me to always have in mind I got a seat at the table. At God's table. I'm not in this thing by myself. And not only when you see the table are you by yourself, but as when we take communion, we're talking about the church's fellowship. We're all together. So if all of us are sitting at the table and God is present and power and dynamic and spirit is working in our life and we're spirit filled, there's so much power and strength in the body to make it through any challenge. That's why the enemy don't want you at the Lord's table. He don't want you the realization in that constant examination of your life. Saying, oh, Lord, but whenever you see a mess, sometimes life is just, you have some situations that's beyond your control, but whenever you see some things that you just can't get victory over, always look at what table you've been at. You might need to change the table where you can get strength and deliverance and move forward and experience the abundant life that God has in store for you. So now, my brothers and sisters, we're going to get a song, and as that song is being played, as you're listening to the song, go and prepare. Get your cracker or whatever you're using this morning for the bread, and then get whatever you're going to use for the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. Get those things together as the song is being played and you're worshiping and still in worship. Let the song penetrate your heart. And at the same time, you're gathering the elements so that we can go to the Lord's table. And today, really try to experience what it means to go to the Lord's table. It's a time of fellowship, of closeness, of intimacy, that you can experience great victory. Take your time and go to the Lord's table.
I know.
Amen. My blood still works. Now, if you've gathered your elements, amen. We want to thank about all that the Lord did for us during his passion time, his suffering, his being willing to take the ill treatment that was given to him, the disgraceful type of things that were happening to him, even though he was the very Son of God who came all the way from heaven down to save humanity. And humanity treated him in such an awful way. The religious leaders, I was beaten, bruised, flesh torn, crowned with thorns, marched up Golgotha, finally crucified on the cross. Each time I think about that and how terrible it was, how excruciatingly painful it was, and that he was God's Son, the one that created this vast universe in which I live, it amazes me that he loved me like that and that he would give his life for me. I'm just so amazed by that. He paid the price so I can have the price of him and all the abundant life that can be found in him in that blessed life. I got a seat at the table. I'm so thankful that he loved me enough to say, you got a seat at the table. And that's so special to me, because so many tables I wanted to sit at, I was rejected from. But this God loved me so much, he gave me a seat at his table. What a wonderful God he is. And in that table, and at that table, and through my fellowship with him, through my trust in him, through my relationship and intimacy with him, he can give me the power to live a life of victory, in a life where I can proclaim how great he is. So this time, take a couple of moments. Examine where you are. Examine what table you've been sitting at. Maybe you need to change table. Maybe you need to turn your life around. Maybe you need to repent. Say, Lord, I've been at the wrong table too many times. I've been accepting a bad invitation. But today I need you to give me strength. I want to be at your table, because I want to live for you. I want my life to be a reflection of your glory and your goodness. Take a couple of moments, and then we'll come back and finish this ordinance. Amen. Now, realizing what these elements before us represent, the bread, his body, his sinless body that was given for us, and the fruit of the vine, his blood that was spilled for the remission of our sins. As we partake of it, as I said earlier, it's saying that the only way we can live a Christian life is that when we take our seat at the table, Christ lives through us. With that in mind, you may now take, eat, and then drink. Amen. We thank you for joining us today in this time of worship. We hope through the sharing of the word you have more insight into the ordinance of the Lord's table or the communion, and you'll be having the thankfulness of what all the Lord has done for us. Yes, go out. Thank you for the celebrating proclamation of your life. And I always realize what it means, what these symbols mean to our life, and how that he's working through our lives, and what it means to sit at that table and have God so powerfully at work in your life. And then continue to examine your life, not just on the first Sunday of each month, but each day throughout the day as you seek to live for him. And when you do have losses, take those losses quickly to him and ask him for forgiveness and to get back on the victorious track. He's a great God, and he's a God worthy to be praised. Thank you so much for joining us. Have an awesome day as we have celebrated this first Sunday of this brand new year that he has gifted us with. What a wonderful God. We said we're praying continually for everybody's health. Hopefully, we are after everybody get back on track, and we'll be at have a present to all of those who come to the worship center. We'll be able to be present upon next Sunday and enjoy one another's fellowship in one another's presence, in a oneness. Because I want you, if you would just go back and read that whole 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll see one of the reasons why you know they weren't at the Lord's table enough. I wasn't experiencing intimacy with God enough. I wasn't, you know, spending that kind of time with God. It's because of the way they treated one another and the division and all that was going on, and how they treated the poor, how the elite member treated the poor. So all those are signs that you've been sitting at the wrong table, and you're allowing too much foot room for the enemy. So don't give the enemy no room. Live your life for God dynamically. And we again, have a great day in the Lord, and we'll see you soon, or we'll talk to you soon. Be blessed, Betsay, and be a blessing. Now, unto him that's able to keep us and present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our comfort, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us say together as amen, amen, and amen. Have a wonderful day.